stress, fear, depression, spiritual warfare. Are you weighted down? Do you need refreshing? Welcome. Welcome, everyone, to the Warriors for Christ podcast, where we seek to uplift, edify, and encourage you to be light and salt in a dark and tasteless world with your host, Kyle.
Hello, hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Warriors for Christ podcast. I'm Kyle.
And I'm Sam.
And we're so happy that you folks have joined us today. Brother Sam, what does the Lord put on your heart for us to get into in this episode?
Well, Kyle, I wanted to finish off prayer. I had one last prayer item that I wanted to do. You know, previously we talked a lot about prayer. What do we be praying for? How do we get our prayers to be answered? Because God does tell us, ask and you will receive, but there are conditions. Those who he won't listen to their prayers. And I wanted to finish up on this one, looking at, you know, and we also did the part four, looking at different examples of prayers. This one, you know, when you look at the frequency of prayer, how often are we to be praying? Is this something that we do once a week, once a month? You know, how often are we to be praying? So I figured we look at some examples and some passages in scripture about really how the Bible kind of talks how we're to be devoted to prayer.
That's right. All right. Well, with that, I'll open us in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we're so grateful and thankful. Oh, Father, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you for every blessing you give us in our life and also the challenges in life, Father. Everything is yours, O Lord, and we submit to that. Father, during this time, we lift up this episode and those that are out there getting a chance to listen, whether they listen today or tomorrow or years from now. Father, we praise you for them. We ask in the name of Jesus for their hearts to be softened and for their ears and ears to be opened up to the truth of the Word of God. Father, we praise you and thank you in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. So, Kyle, when we look at prayer, you know, we have some examples. We can look at different places in Scripture and people and how they prayed. One of them, when you look at Daniel in the book of Daniel chapter 6, we have some ideas of how often he was praying. When you have the whole plot against Daniel and, you know, Daniel was thrown into the lion's den.
Mm-hmm.
This was, you know, back when they gave an edict, right, that you're only to, I think, worship the king and that you aren't supposed to be worshiping other gods. So when this edict went out, what happened in Daniel chapter 6, verse 10? How often was Daniel praying to God?
Although Daniel knew that the document had been signed, he continued to go to his house, which had windows in its upper room open toward Jerusalem, and to get down on his knees three times a day to pray to his God and praise him, just as he had done previously. So he prayed at least three times a day on his knees and praised God.
Yep. And there's different examples of how people pray. Sometimes they lay on their face. Sometimes they stand with their hands raised to heaven. It just all depends. Here, Daniel was praying three times a day on his knees to God and, you know, giving thanks to God. I want to go over to Acts now. We'll go through some passages in the New Testament. And Acts chapter 2, looking at verse 42 to 43, here it was referring to as people received the word of God and they were baptized. And here it just talked about 3,000 people were added. And this is after Pentecost. What does this say the people were doing with respect to prayer?
They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. In verse 43, all came upon everyone because many wonders and signs were being done by the apostles.
And so here, when you look at the life of the saints, prayer was an important part.
Yep.
They were devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching.
Yep.
So that's important. You got to be being fed on the true word of God. Also fellowship, you know, fellowship of the saints. And we've done different episodes about proper fellowship. One episode that comes to mind is when the Bible talks about to judge or not to judge. Well, God commands both. And we did two episodes on those. Talks about within the church, we're commanded to judge. Outside the church, you're commanded not to judge. And with those inside the church, those who are false or living in sin, you aren't to fellowship with those people, but you're to fellowship with the true saints. And then also, there's occasions where it says, go out and fellowship with the world, not to be of the world, but to tell them about God, to bring them out. And of course, if they don't listen, you just keep moving on. You aren't to sit there and fellowship with them as if they're your friend, because they're an enemy of God, but you're doing it because of your love for them to tell them the truth. And so these are examples we can look at our life and say, is our life lining up? But you have teaching, fellowship, you know, eating together, and prayer, being devoted to prayer. And God was doing works and miracles through them. Continue to look at other examples in the book of Acts. If you turn over to chapter 6, verses 2-4, if you'll read those, please.
Sure, 2-4. And the 12 called together the whole community of the disciples and said, "It is not right that we should neglect the word of God in order to wait on tables. Therefore, friends, select from among yourselves 7 men of good standing, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, who we may appoint to this task, while we, for our part, will devote ourselves to prayer and to serving the word."
So here, this is the disciples at the time, you know, they were trying to, you know, feed different people who were in need, the widows and others. And the disciples or the 12 apostles were like, hey, listen, you know, we need to devote more of our time, you know, to the teaching and to prayer, you know, ministry of the word and to prayer. I think most of it was more of the ministry of the word, but you always have prayer there because prayer is for everybody. And in this case, you know, you have the examples of the apostles. It's for them. Not even though they are commissioned to go teach the word, they also, prayer is a big part of it. It's about our communion with God and communicating with Him and making our petitions. But it's important. And so as for people who are listening, you know, as we talked about in the first episode of prayer, the first thing is, have you prayed the most important prayer? To receive the Spirit of God. Once you've received the Spirit of God, then your prayer with God is going to be much more effective. God can communicate with you. He can lead and convict you. And for some people who get different gifts, like the gift of prophecy and others, you get to be brought into the presence of God and He can reveal things to you for your benefit and the benefits of others as God equips the church and gives to people different gifts. And I'll tell you, you know, Kyle, you know, he has that gift. And it's really a blessing. It's a blessing for him, and it's a blessing for all those around him because God will reveal certain things. And he can petition and ask God, and God gives him the answers and visions. And it's a blessing. And all that, what that does is it drives us together as a body because we rely on people for the different gifts that God has given. And God works in powerful ways. It's the Spirit of God that works. And that's why we rejoice so much, because we know it's not of man. It's not of our effort. It's all for the glory of God. And we greatly rejoice.
Amen. Praise God.
Acts chapter 14. Look at verse 21-23.
After they proclaimed the good news to that city and had made many disciples, they returned to Lystra, then on to Iconium and Antioch. There they strengthened the souls of the disciples and encouraged them to continue in the faith, saying, "It is through many persecutions that we must enter the kingdom of God." And after they had appointed elders for them in each church, with prayer and fasting, they entrusted them to the Lord in whom they had come to believe.
So here, as again, Paul, I think this is the case where Paul was traveling through the different cities that they had previously preached, and they were returning to strengthen the people and encouraging them in their faith. Because as we know, there's going to be many tribulations and persecutions. Here it says, through tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. And if you listen to the episode that we did on suffering, what does God say about suffering? You'll find that those who are in the true grace of God suffer and will suffer, but are to be suffering like Christ. When you are facing your trials and temptations, you're overcoming without sin. And that was a great episode that we did. And you can examine yourself, you who are listening, and think, when you go through those trials and temptations, do you suffer, but yet without sin? Or do you find yourself failing? Well, that might be an indication that you aren't in the true grace of God that we discussed in that episode about suffering. But here, as Paul's going through and he's encouraging them, warning them that these things are going to happen, appointing elders to make sure you have the correct biblical leader there to protect the flock, as the Bible warns throughout the scripture that there's going to be evil imposters that come in to try to deceive, even though they're preaching Christ, that they need to be protected. And of course, they prayed with fasting. So here in this case, they're praying, commending them to the Lord in whom they believed. And a lot of this, I'm sure they're praying for their faith, praying for them to overcome, to continue to grow. But they also, in this case, were fasting with them And so as we look at our lives, you know, there'll be times when, again, God may call and lead you to fast. And it's really just taking an intentional pause from the things of the world to be more focused on God with prayer to Him, with the fasting. And, you know, for us, it's as we continue to look at these different examples of praying and what situations they were praying, how often they were praying, a lot of times you're going to find it's with the other people. It's in communion with fellowship of the people and encouraging. The next book I want to turn to is Romans. Let's turn over to Romans chapter 12, and we're going to look in chapter 12, verse 9 through verse 13.
Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering. Persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Extend hospitality to strangers. It's actually a command there. Extend hospitality to strangers.
It is. And so here you have with, you know, the prayer. We're to be devoted to prayer. But again, in this devotion to prayer, you always find other aspects of what our life is to be reflecting. In this, it's, again, be devoted to prayer. It's almost like as you're doing all these other things, you should be praying as well. So what are some of these other things? You start off, it says, let love be genuine or without hypocrisy.
Yep.
When we look at our life of love, do we really reflect the love of Christ? Do we do it without hypocrisy? Well, we did an episode on what is the love, the greatest commandment. Love is to love your God and love your neighbor as yourself. And if you're loving, you aren't doing what, Kyle?
Not sinning against God, and you're not sinning against your neighbor.
That's right. And we went through, and that's actually how God defines of what it means to love. So you can say if, oh, but I do good, do you still sin? Well, then your love is not genuine. Your love has hypocrisy. But in these things, we're, again, to be praying. We're to abhorring what is evil, only clinging to what is good. Again, a good example of what is love. Is that your life? When you pray, is that also a reflection of your life? To be devoted to one another in this true love, this brotherly love. We aren't to be lagging behind, but we're to be diligent, fervent in spirit. Again, you can only be fervent in spirit serving the Lord and the true Spirit of God if you truly have the Spirit of God. Have you been born again? Were you spiritually baptized and crucified? And we did episodes on that and what the result is. If you did, then you'll be able to rejoice in hope. You'll persevere in tribulations, overcoming them. And you'll be devoted to prayer. You'll be devoted to prayer and all those things. And so, you know, it's as we look at our life, we can say, yeah, as I think about my life the last day, the last week, the last month, I see those things in my life. If not, well, maybe you need to go back to that first prayer. Maybe you need to be grounded more in the truth to understand what you're praying for when you initially pray to ask God for a new heart and a new spirit so He can change you into what He wants you to change you into. We also did a recent episode on barriers. That was the one we just did before this one.
Mm-hmm.
What are the barriers to receiving the new heart and the new spirit? Again, many people will pray and ask, but if you don't pray and ask in accordance with the truth and with the conditions of what God says, then you won't receive. But we are to be fervent in spirit, rejoicing in hope and persevering in tribulation and devoted to prayer. You who are listening, are you devoted to prayer? Make sure your life, though, when you examine it, it's not a bunch of works and you doing this and you doing that, but it's really an easy yoke. It's the things that just happen without you even really forcing it. If not, maybe you find that this is just another chore you have to add to the list and it's becoming tiresome and burdening. Well, that would be an indication that you don't have the Holy Spirit of God. Romans chapter 14, looking at verse 21 to 23.
It is good not to eat meat or drink wine or do anything that makes your brother or sister stumble. The faith that you have as your own conviction before God. Blessed are those who have no reason to condemn themselves because of what they approve. But those who have doubts are condemned if they eat, because they do not act from faith. For whatever does not proceed from faith is sin.
Oh, and you know what? As I'm looking at this, I'm like, okay, this isn't, I went to the wrong chapter. Actually, we already read that in Acts. I have a list of verses written down. But, you know, since we read that, let's look at that for a little bit since we covered it. Here, he's talking about, you know, don't cause your brother to stumble. And in this case, you know, some people who had a weak faith, they thought, hey, you know, if this is unclean, I can't eat this. And here in verse 15, he says, if because of food your brother is hurt, you are no longer walking according to love. Do not destroy with food him for whom Christ died. Therefore, do not let what is for you a good thing be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but it's righteousness, peace, joy, and the Holy Spirit. And that's what it's about. If we're in the kingdom of God and we're living according to the kingdom of God, it's not about eating and drinking in this life. It's about, are you living in righteousness, peace, and joy, all by the Holy Spirit, not your work, but by the Spirit of God. If you are, then in this way, the person who serves Christ, it's acceptable to God and approved by men. So in this case, you're to build one another up and not tear people down for the sake of these preferences, such as eating or drinking. Some people are like, oh, you can't drink wine. Well, the Bible teaches wine's okay, but you aren't to be going off and getting drunk. People say, oh, but you can't eat meat, or you can't eat pork, or you can't eat anything if it's sacrificed to an idol. Well, we know in 1 Corinthians chapter 8 that that's not true. It actually says that, no, we can't eat those things because we know that for us, all things are from God and not from the idol or the demon. And we know that for us, there is no such thing as a demon or an idol because we offer all things to God. So we're able to eat and drink, you know, all things, giving thanks be to God. Now, he says, if a brother who is weak in faith doesn't understand that, well, then for the sake of him, just refrain from doing those things around him so you don't cause him to stumble and cause your brother to actually perish or be destroyed. And this is all in 1 Corinthians chapter 8. But for us, we're free from those things. Also, I think in 1 Timothy chapter 4, where it talks about, some in later times will fall away from the faith, paying attention to doctrine, to demons and deceitful spirits, having their mind seared, being seared in their own mind as with a branding iron, having their conscience seared. And it's like, well, why? What are people doing? Well, they're saying that you can't get married and you have to abstain from certain foods. And God says, no, all things are good and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with gratitude, for it is sanctified by the means of word, the word of God and prayer.
That's right.
So was that the correct passage, Kyle?
Yeah. It's 1 Timothy 4, verses 1 through 5. Very good coverage of that. I'll read it just for folks. Now the Spirit expressly says that in later times some will renounce the faith by paying attention to deceitful spirits and teachings of demons. Through the hypocrisy of liars whose consciences are seared with a hot iron, they forbid marriage. And who does that these days? And demand abstinence from foods, I've met those people too, which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected provided it is received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by God's word and by prayer.
Yep. So we covered that. And I wasn't planning on it, but it just happened to pop in there because I referenced the wrong passage. But there it is. Some more truth of God. I pray that that will bless someone who's listening. If they're under bondage or following a silly tradition of man, and that's not necessary. What I wanted to turn to, Kyle, was Romans chapter 15, verse 30 and 31.
I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to join me in earnest prayer to God on my behalf, that I may be rescued from the unbelievers in Judea, and that my ministry to Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints, so that by, I'm going to read 32 as
yep.
well, so that by God's will, I may come to you with joy and be refreshed in your company.
Amen. Now here, again, Paul, even though Paul was an apostle, of Christ and sent out to serve, he's asking for prayers. Prayers for what, Kyle?
For his rescue from the unbelievers in Judea, also for his ministry that it's acceptable to the saints.
That's right. And so here you'd be like, well, why does Paul have to pray? I mean, obviously, look what he was doing, of course. But see, that's the thing. We're always appealing to God to help us. Because as a life of a believer, if you're truly living, you're going to be in places where you're going to be persecuting. You're going to be standing up for the faith. You're going to be speaking the words of God as he puts them in your mouth. Your own members of your family will persecute you. Your previous friends will persecute you. People of the church that used to go to will persecute you, if those things are applicable. And they'll persecute you because they'll say, no, that's not true. It's as Jesus said, the members of your own family will be your enemies. And we've covered much of this. And we're to be praying for one another that we continue to do the will of God, that God continues to rescue us. So for you, Well, the first thing I'd have to ask you is, does your life reflect that of, are you being persecuted? Those who he's asking to be rescued from. He says those who are disobedient in Judea. You know, Kyle said disbelieve. Well, it's those who are disobedient. Those who are disobedient are those who disbelieve in the eyes of God. But yet these are people who said they believe. So it's actually being rescued from the false church. Those who are confessing faith in God, because they're the ones that are going to be the worst persecutors, and that your service can be will be acceptable to the saints. And that's really what we're here for, to serve the saints and to make new saints. So when you look at your life, is that your prayer as the Spirit of God stirs in your heart? Are you praying for the other saints that are in your life, if you have true saints in your life, if you yourself are a true saint, that they may continue, that they may be rescued from the false church that's persecuting them as they're trying to rescue the people in these false churches and rescue those that are outside the church that are also in darkness? Is that your prayer? And are you also laboring in the same way and petitioning for similar prayers to be made on your behalf? If not, well, then whose race are you running? Whose work and whose will are you truly doing? Are you becoming entangled in the everyday matters of this life and this world? Something to think about. Other examples of prayer, I want to turn over to 1 Thessalonians. And we're going to look at chapter 5, verse 16 to verse 25.
Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise the word of prophets, but test everything. Hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. May the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be kept sound and blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do this. Beloved, pray for us also. Greet all the brothers and sisters with a holy kiss.
So here, again, we have two mentions of prayer. You know, kind of starts in the beginning. How often are we to be praying, Kyle?
Without ceasing.
Yeah, it's a continual attitude of prayer. And while we're praying, Kyle, in everything, we're to be giving what?
Thanks.
You know, Kyle, does that really make sense? I could see somebody listening saying, well, why would I give thanks? Like if God's blessing me with a food and shelter and prosperity or good health, well, then surely, yes, I'm going to give thanks to God. But why would I give thanks if I'm suffering trials and tribulations and persecution? What would you have to say to a person like that? Are we really to rejoice?
I think so, yeah, because you're rejoicing because you know that it's an opportunity to overcome. It's an opportunity to show that you're an overcomer if you're filled with the Spirit of God. If you're someone who hasn't and you have these trials, you know you're in there's a period of judgment and that you might want to turn from whatever wickedness that has led to that position.
And Kyle, in the episode that we did somewhat recently on temptation, and the first part series of understanding temptation, I think we started in the book of James chapter 1 about where does you know, when people are tempted into sin, where does that come from? It actually comes from the lust or the sin that still lives in their heart.
That's right.
But that's contrasted with the person in the beginning in James chapter 1, I think it's in verse 2, where it's an imperative command to say, count it all joy, brethren, when you encounter various temptations or trials. And then he tells them why. Because the proof of your faith is producing endurance, and endurance must be having its perfect result so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Well, Kyle, that's why. You see, when we go and pray to God, we're always rejoicing. We're praying without ceasing. We're giving thanks in everything.
Amen.
And you can give thanks in everything for what appears the positive as well as what appears to be a negative, because when you overcome those things, Kyle, it's a demonstration that you have a proof of faith.
Amen.
It's also the same with the true grace of God that we're to be standing firm in that we covered recently in an episode, which looks heavily at the book of 1 Peter, which is, are you able to suffer like Christ? Even though you're suffering through persecution, yet you're committing no sin. You see, that's why you're able to rejoice. So now people who don't ever understand that background, and you who are listening may seem kind of perplexing or opposite, well, that's just because you probably haven't heard the full truth.
Go listen to those other episodes, and then you'll understand why you'll be able to always rejoice and pray without ceasing, giving thanks in everything. Until you understand the true Word of God and the true grace and the true suffering, and really the temptation, where that is and what it means to have a proof of faith or not, you're going to struggle to understand even a basic simple statement as this: when you pray, do you rejoice and give thanks in everything? Now, for those that are, great, awesome. That's just demonstration of the Spirit of God working in your life. But then the warning is, make sure you stay in that condition and don't quench the Spirit. Well, what do you mean? Well, there's a couple of warnings in the Bible about quenching the Spirit. Some people say, oh no, you can never quench the Spirit. And Kyle, maybe I'll save that one. Maybe we'll do that next. And we'll go through and look at that, of what does it mean to be marked, or people like to use the word sealed, with the Holy Spirit of promise. And then how this marking or being identified with the Spirit, how you can quench it, and how there's a danger of not to quench it. But for many people, they come to God in prayer, Kyle. They aren't just quenching the Spirit. They never received it. They continue to grieve the Spirit of God that's trying to work around them and trying to get into them, because they aren't accepting the truth, and they won't acknowledge and confess that their life is a lie, and they're actually enemies of God. And sadly, that's many. But for the one who, Kyle, does have a sincere faith, the Spirit of God in them, who's praying without ceasing, counting, you know, giving thanks and everything, they examine everything, Kyle. They hold fast to those things which are good. With respect to evil, what are they doing?
They hold fast to what is good and abstain from every form of evil.
Every form of evil. Kyle, that it's would mean that we aren't to be walking or struggling with sin.
That's right. Doesn't seem to be a problem.
But if you're standing in the true grace of God, if you're suffering as Christ did and understand what God says about suffering, then you know what that means, and that would apply to you, unless you're still seeking and you don't know. But all these things, again, come together. So may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And this one here, it's referring to the, I believe the focus here is the whole church. Earlier, as you look at the Thessalonians, again, as with every church, not everybody within the church has been sanctified. We did an episode on sanctify. It's an event, not a process. You can go look at that. Whenever it talks about Christ continuing to sanctify people into the church, that's a continual process that's being repeated, because every new person is a, you know, every person that comes to Christ is another event that needs to be sanctified into the body. But for, as an individual, for us, you know, once we've been sanctified by Christ, that's an event. And we go through all those passages contrasting that. So if you have been, then you are to be, to continue so that you can be without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we see that repeatedly as well. So with all this in mind, it all has to do with God, who is faithful, not us, as long as we continue.
And he will do it.
And he will do it. So again, brethren, pray for us. Now, if you don't understand the truth, if you haven't come to it, then your prayers aren't going to be effective. You aren't going to understand how you're to be praying. And a lot of these things are going to seem odd or foreign to you. But when you come to the truth, you're going to know it. And all the episodes, if you haven't listened to the other episodes on prayer, listen to them, because it explains a lot of what we're talking about if you're listening to this for the first time. Other passages in prayer. Kyle, let's look. Turn back to Matthew. I want to look at Matthew chapter 5. Some of what Jesus spoke. And this was the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 5. We'll look at verse 44 to 48.
43 to 48. Okay. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be children of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the righteous and on the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers and sisters, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect.
All right, so here, an example of prayer and who we're to be praying for. Kyle, this one's a little bit of an oddity. Who does it say we're to be praying for?
We're to be praying for our enemies, love our enemies, and pray for those who persecute us.
Praying for those who persecute you. Well, now, not only that, Kyle, what if you are not praying for someone who's persecuting you? What does that imply about your sonship?
questions it.
It questions it because, you see, only those who are able to love their enemies, and this is the agape love, it's an imperative command as well. If you cannot love your enemy, if you cannot pray for those who are persecuting you, then Kyle, you cannot be a son of your Father who's in heaven. You can't.
That's right. That's what it says right here.
Now, a lot of people don't understand this, but if you truly understood what it means to love your neighbor as yourself, you would know that you aren't sinning against your neighbor. It includes everybody, including what would be enemies.
Yep. God shows no partiality.
Now, some people will get confused. You know, earlier, Kyle, you and I were looking at an example of Nehemiah today. And, you know, one of the passages we covered was Nehemiah going and confronting a people in sin. Do you remember some of the things that he did to them?
Yeah.
He went to them. He beat them.
Yeah.
He yelled at them.
Pulled their hair.
He even pulled out their hair. And you'd be like, okay, that is an unloving man. That is not a man of God. But he was a man of God. He was a prophet of God, moved by the Spirit of God. He did those things because the Spirit of God, as you know, Kyle, especially of people who claim to know God but rebel, God's face is against them to destroy them. And we've covered so many passages in the Old Testament episodes that we've done on that. So it's not looking at that, because somebody may say, oh, well, that's not loving. Oh, actually, that is loving. It's like just like God comes with a rod to beat the sun from the
Isaiah chapter one,
from the sole of the foot to the head, with an attempt to get the sun to come into obedience to make his crooked way straight. But if he doesn't, well, then he ends up getting destroyed. So it is that aspect of love is still love. But in this case, it's, can you love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you? If you can't, then you are not a son of your Father in heaven. God does good to all. Now, that's also a distinguishing mark between a true saint or a true son of God and one who isn't. You see, the world, Kyle, does it say the world, those who are in darkness, those who are enemies of God, does it say that the tax collectors and the rest of the world, that they are able to have agape love?
Yep.
It does. You see, and that's what he says. He's like, what good is that? What is your reward if you simply love and have agape love as they do? Well, their agape love is when it's convenient for them. Their agape love is to love those who love them. You know, many people, it's easy for them to love the members of their household. Many people, it's easy for them to love their close friends or a significant other. That's just part of them.
Tribalism.
But you know, Kyle, when it's not convenient, sometimes they struggle to even love people in their family.
Yep.
Sometimes they struggle to love even their significant others. But yet here, we're commanded to be able to love everybody. And as we know what love is in the episode, Love the Greatest Commandment, it's not to sin against them. You see, that's how you know the difference between whether or not you are a true son of God or not, whether you're in the kingdom or whether you're not. Do you have the perfect love of God, and has it been manifested in your life so that you can now walk in the love of God? Who do you pray for? And when you look at the other examples around this, what does your life reflect? And so, Kyle, as we go through with most of the episodes, you know, we'll start in this case, we're doing a topical on prayer. But as we go through other passages, you're going to be brought into other truths, because God's word, it just doesn't stand alone and focus on one topic. It all comes together and is intertwined.
Yep.
With the whole purpose of avoiding the people who twist the word of God to their own demise.
Yep.
So as we come across these other things, we'll highlight and talk about them as well. Let's turn over to Luke chapter 6, and I think this one we find a similar type statement in verse 27 to 35.
But I say to you that listen, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you, and if anyone takes away your goods, do not ask for them again. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. If you lend to those from whom you hope to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies, do good, and lend, expecting nothing in return. Your reward will be great, and you will be the children of the Most High, for He is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful.
And so here, again, as we go out into the world, we're to be a reflection just as God sent His Son Christ. There's not to be a difference. And this is consistent with what we read in Matthew. Again, it's a kind of a recap of the same story. One of the things I forgot to mention, again, the other one in Matthew chapter 5, verse 48, was the last statement. You're to be perfect, just as your Heavenly Father is perfect.
And we've actually done an episode on perfect.
We did. And really it comes down to is the Spirit of God in you. You see, if the Spirit of God is in you, then He's going to reflect His light, His nature, which is the things that are perfect of God. But again, getting back to prayer here, repeating, do you pray for your enemies? Can you pray for those who abuse you? Well, if not, that's probably an indication that you do not have the Spirit of God. Let's turn over to Ephesians. Look at Ephesians, prayer in Ephesians. We're going to go to chapter 6 and verse 18 to 20.
Pray in the Spirit at all times in every prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert and always persevere in supplication for all the saints. Pray also for me, so that when I speak, a message may be given to me to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it boldly as I must speak.
So here again, it's a pray. How often, Kyle?
Always.
Praying at all times. Yep. And praying in the Spirit.
Yep.
Now, if you don't have the Spirit of God, it's going to be fairly difficult to pray in the Spirit. You know, you have to have the Spirit of God and the Spirit guide you. But if not, again, you got to go back to the first thing and understand the true grace of God, what it is the most important prayer that you're to be praying, and you need to be baptized and crucified so you can overcome sin. And we've covered this in those episodes of prayer, the earlier ones, the true grace of God, the episodes on overcoming sin, what does it mean to be spiritually baptized and crucified. If that has truly happened and there were no barriers to prevent you from receiving the new heart and the new Spirit, then welcome to the family of God. And you'll be able to pray in the Spirit. You'll be able to pray at all times. And one of the things that we're to be alert of and focused on is for the perseverance and the petition of the saints. You see, we're all facing struggles. We're all going to face persecutions and tribulations. And so we pray for one another. We pray for one another to overcome so that we can persevere. Remember, Jesus said, who are the ones who are saved, Kyle? Those who endure to the end.
Amen.
Well, if you don't endure to the end, if you don't persevere, there's a problem. So we pray for the perseverance of the saints, for all the saints. Not only that, not only for the perseverance, but for the work of service. We're to be laboring in the fields. You know, if you examine your life and you look at your life, are you working in the kingdom, in the field? Are you being persecuted? Are you facing tribulations? Are you bringing people to Christ and adding souls, rescuing them from darkness, rescuing them from the fire to come? Well, if not, there's a problem. You see, we're all to be laboring in the fields. We're all to be overcoming and persevering. And we're to be praying for one another in this struggle. And we're to pray that God would give us the words to speak. You see, just because we understand and we can read the Word of God doesn't mean it's the Word that God once spoken. Did not all the people of the Jews religiously every Sabbath read from the Word of God? Yes. But if you don't have eyes to see in the spiritual discernment, then your eyes and ears will be blind and it will be of no profit to you. As we covered in the episode, make sure you have eyes to see and ears to hear, as well as the other episode that we did of making sure you don't have a vain faith. These people worship God, they praise, they believe, but just not in truth. You see, even Paul here requests prayer, that utterance will be given to him in the opening of his mouth, so he can make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel. What, did all of a sudden Paul forget about what the gospel is? Did all of a sudden Paul lose the boldness?
No.
No, but you see, with every event, God knows what words need to be spoken. Kyle, I've been in situations before where God put me in a place. He gave me a vision, and he told me that I was going to go speak to this man. He gave me the picture of his face. And he said I was going to see him at work. And the problem is he didn't tell me what to say. He just said I was going to go and talk to him. It was very strange. This had never happened to me before. And I was like, okay. I knew I was going to have to go talk to him. And then, you know, when the workday came around, I time starts to go by and you start to wonder, okay, did I really have that encounter that I had, or was that just my imagination? And so then it kind of faded and I didn't really go and, you know, see this guy. And you know, I didn't know his name, and I wasn't friends or had a relationship with this guy.
Yeah, he wasn't somebody at your workplace that you typically interacted with.
And there's, you know, there's hundreds of people.
Yeah.
So the next day, it's like the same thing happened again. The same, like, vision and how they happen. It's very, very unique. And I was like, ooh. And God basically said, you will speak to him before the sun goes down today. And so it was the end of the day. And so I got up and I just made a walk around before I was going to leave, just out of curiosity. But I was like, well, if I don't see him, you know, he'll be on the side of the road or somehow God will take him to my house. But I saw him. And also previously, Kyle, I'd been in situations where God wanted me to speak and I didn't know what I was going to say, but God literally gave me the words right before I was supposed to speak and open my mouth. So I just assumed God was going to do the same thing again because he had done that before. That's another, you know, amazing thing that God has done.
Yep.
And so I was just like, okay, here he is. I just need to go introduce myself. And then God's going to put all the words into my mind and in my mouth. And then I'll speak them when he gives it to me. Otherwise I didn't know. So I went up and I approached the gentleman and I had to tap him on the shoulder and say, hey, because I didn't know his name. And when he turned around and he looked at me, God didn't give me anything to say. And so the only thing I had to say was, what happened? Hey, God came to me and I was mowing my yard and it's like somehow time stopped and I had this vision and he showed me your face and he told me I'm supposed to come talk to you, but he didn't tell me what to say. And it's like, you know, in the wisdom of man, it's like, oh yeah, sure. Wink, wink. Uh-huh. You know, believe me, you know, anybody could just make that up, right? Hey, God told me to come to you, talk to you, but he didn't tell me what to say. And that's really a vulnerable statement. Now, God didn't tell me what to say. He didn't give me anything. So the only thing I had was what happened, which would have been that story. And in my mind, it passed through. And I said, well, that just is silly. That doesn't make sense. I can't say that. He's going to think I'm a nut. And so I didn't. So I tried to get creative in my mind to try to kickstart a conversation as if I needed to help God out. Well, that was a crash and burn. And that didn't work. And I think the man thought I was really, you know, like, huh? And so then immediately, then God did speak to me. And what he spoke to me first was a rebuke.
Yes.
And he told me, Sam, don't you know that the wisdom of man is foolishness before God and that the foolishness of God is wiser than men? Don't you know that the weakness of God is stronger than the strength of men? Don't be foolish. If anyone amongst you wants to become wise, he must first become a fool so that he may become wise. And these were all the words that God was speaking into me in my mind out of 1 Corinthians chapter 1 through 3 or through 4. So I was like, oh boy, I quickly repented and I quickly went up to the man again and I told him the foolishness of the event, which is what God knew all he had to hear. And as soon as I told him, I says, you know, you're going to think I'm an idiot or a fool, but here's the deal. God came to me on Saturday afternoon. He spoke to me in a vision. He showed me your face. And he says, I need to go find this man and talk to him because God sent me to him. Well, that's all this man needed to hear. Because what I didn't know, but what God knew, is this man was having a crisis. Many things in his life were happening. And he had a point of breaking. And he was lifting up his eyes to heaven, crying out to God, saying, God, where are you? Because he believed in God. The problem is, it wasn't in truth. The problem is, he didn't know God. And so crying out to God, God heard his prayer, and immediately he sent me as a messenger to him to go proclaim the truth.
Amen.
Now after that, and the whole event, like it's as if God electrocuted him and his whole body, you know, awakened, you know, as I spoke that foolishness of a message initially. Then God put everything into my mind of then what I was to tell him.
Amen.
So, you know, that's why I tell people, even here, Paul, he's saying, you know, pray that God will give the words to speak. Because God knows what needs to be spoken for the moment. He knows what a person needs to hear in their heart to convict them. And so it's all has to do with God and his spirit. And that's why, you know, and I'm asking you who are listening, are you praying? Do you pray and petition for the saints? Do you pray and ask that God will give words of utterance for the other saints to speak the words and the wisdom with boldness of what God once spoken? And do you pray that for yourself? It's not about us just going through the works of man or the normal processes of the logic of man of, hey, let me just go teach this. Let me go teach that. Let me just go do this work. No, the Spirit of God does things in unique ways so that we know it's him and not ourselves. It really causes us to rely on the Spirit of God and his work, Kyle.
Yep. I agree.
Colossians. Turning over to Colossians chapter 4. Look at verse 1 through 6.
Masters, treat your slaves justly and fairly, for you know that you also have a master in heaven. Devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray for us as well, that God will open to us a door for the word, that we may declare the mystery of Christ for which I am in prison, so that I may reveal it clearly as I should. Conduct yourselves wisely toward outsiders, making the most of the time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer everyone.
Amen. You know, this is kind of a similar prayer to the one we just read in Ephesians. How much are we to be praying here, Kyle?
Always.
Be devoted to prayer.
Yeah.
It's another thing. And when you look at this, to everyone who's listening, would you say that you have a devoted prayer life? Do you have a devoted prayer life? When you pray, do you fully expect that God is listening, that God is hearing, is answering? Because you are his servant, you are doing the work of God, you're laboring in his kingdom, you're rescuing souls from darkness, you're contending and warring with those who are of the false circumcision or the false church who are actually persecuting you. You go into darkness to tell others, you face other persecutions and tribulations from the world. If not, maybe you have a different spirit. Maybe it's still the spirit of the world and you still have desires for things of the world. And it's that false angel of light that the Bible warns us against that you've been following. But we're to devote ourselves to prayer. We're to be alert and be thankful. And again, we're to pray for other saints. And Kyle, in this one, what does it say they're to be praying for other saints? That God will do what for them?
That God will open a door for the word.
Open a door for the word.
So that we can boldly declare the mystery of Christ.
That's right. For which I have been in prison. And Paul is speaking of himself. So this is Paul again, referring to him and the other saints. And you'd be like, Paul was doing that. Look at his ministry. Look at how powerful it was. Yes. And in all that, he continued to pray and request prayers that God would open the door. That God would give him the words to speak forth the mystery in truth. Kyle, if people only knew how much the word of God gets twisted, if people only knew how many of much of all these churches and leaders who have good intentions but are still in ignorance and don't know the truth, just like much of Israel, they think they serve God, they have a desire to serve God, but it's not in truth. And that's why Paul, you always hear that he speaks it clearly, he speaks it correctly, and as always, you always hear your life. Our life is always to be a model of Christ. Our speech should be a model of Christ. And we did more episodes, you know, previous on the book of Ephesians and the book of Colossians. So we have episodes where it goes to the book. You'll see the book in the title first. And you can go listen to those. And we cover it if you have other questions or just more of the continuity.
You know, I just want to say this out there to those that are listening. If you are indeed filled with the Holy Spirit of God and you're a saint, we ourselves here would request your prayers. We continue to try to put the Word of God out there in truth, and we would be encouraged by your prayers. And if you want to send us an email, just letting us know that you're backing us with prayers, that would be very helpful, and it would help equip us every day. So we look forward to that. If you want to send us an email, it's questions@warriorsforchristpodcast.com, and the Warriors 4, the number 4 is in there, warriorsforchristpodcast.com. questions@warriorsforchristpodcast.com. We'd love to hear that you're out there praying for us.
Amen. So Kyle, the next passage I want to look at is 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. Some more prayer and prayer requests.
Okay.
What is this one?
Finally, brothers and sisters, pray for us so that the word of the Lord may spread rapidly and be glorified everywhere, just as it is among you, and that we may be rescued from wicked and evil people, for not all have faith.
You know, Kyle, again, you have this continued theme. And it makes sense. I mean, if you think about it, Kyle, why are we here again? What's our purpose on this earth? Just to live for ourselves?
Nope.
No, it's to grow the kingdom of God.
Amen.
To labor.
The time is short.
To rescue souls. So here again, pray for us that the word of the Lord will spread rapidly and be glorified. It's about the planting of the seeds and the seeds being watered, God causing the growth that people can come to maturity or perfection. And not only that, remember, with prayers and tribulations, you'll enter the kingdom of heaven.
Yep.
What's the other prayer? in verse 2? That we're rescued from what again?
That we're rescued from wicked and evil people, for not all have faith.
Wicked and evil people. And a lot of times when it talks about wicked and evil people, it's not just the wicked and evil that we think of the world, but it's the false church.
That's right.
Much of Paul's persecutions, when you read through the book of Acts, came all from the false church. Not only that, Paul would go to other cities to speak truth and would go say, I'm going to the Gentiles. I'm not even going to bother with the Jews anymore. And yet the Jews, so mad and angry at him, pursued him to the other cities when he's trying to proclaim the truth to Gentiles because they were so, because the spirit of the devil does not want the truth getting out. That's why the devil, and people don't understand how much the devil has a stranglehold on the churches, and they don't even know, because they're peddling the word of God, but not in truth. They're proclaiming and holding to a form of godliness, Kyle, but they have no power.
That's right.
Because they're blind. It's the blind leading the blind. It's not that people are just blind saying, stay away from me, I want to stay in my blindness. No, they are blind leaders leading the blind because they think they're leading them to light. But the problem is God says they're blind. So you have everybody in blindness and nobody can get out of the darkness because they're being led by false shepherds and leaders. And so I tell people, listen, if you don't get into your Bible and pray and ask God by his spirit to convict and show you the truth, and then once he does, don't be so foolish to run back to the blind to be entangled with the things and the ignorance of which they proclaim. Now, if God convicts you to tell them truth, which I'm sure he will, certain people, go do that. But if they don't repent, don't continue to go back and fellowship with them in darkness.
Dust your shoes.
You have to know these things.
Come out of her.
Listen to the barriers that we talked about, the barriers to receiving the new heart and the new spirit, and you'll more understand. Next, Kyle, I want to turn over to James. In James chapter 5, verse 13 to 17.
Are any among you suffering? They should pray. Are any cheerful? They should sing songs of praise. Are any among you sick? They should call for the elders of the church and have them pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise them up. And anyone who has committed sins will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective. Elijah was a human being just like us, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain, and for 3 years and 6 months it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth yielded its harvest.
Yep, you might as well read the last two verses.
My brothers and sisters, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and is brought back by another, you should know that whoever brings back a sinner from wandering will save the sinner's soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. Praise God, I was rescued from the flames. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Amen. Now, this one here, there's a couple of applications in this prayer. The first one talks about if you're suffering, well, then you're to pray. And again, we did a whole episode on the suffering and what God says about it. It's really powerful. If you haven't listened to it, please listen to that. If you're cheerful, sing praises to God. If you're sick, another aspect of prayer, then Kyle, what are you to do?
Should call on the elders from the church and have them pray over you and to anoint you with oil in the name of the Lord. And a prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise them up, and anyone who has committed sins will be forgiven.
Okay, and the prayer will save the sick, and if they've committed sins, they'll be forgiven him. So this is an interesting thing. A couple, and I'm not going to go too deep into this one. Maybe another time we'll do an episode on it, but I'm going to highlight some things that you can go find in Scripture. Now, one, if you receive the new heart and you're part of the family of God, you should have been freed from sin. You're now, sin's no longer your master. You're now living and walking in righteousness and in truth. And you aren't even sinning in your thoughts. It is possible to quench the spirit if you get caught up and entangled in the world and you start to not focus on Christ because of the busyness of life. And that's probably the number one deception that Satan will use to then weaken the spirit. If the spirit weakens and you fall in and you commit a sin, well, God's going to point it out. There's a high likelihood that you'll get sick if it's not quickly repented. And even if you do it, God may still strike you and you might get sick. The sickness may just be a fever, might be a cold, it might be a physical ailment, a disease, it could be a cancer. But that's just how God works. And you can find some of these principles in the Old Testament. Also in, I think, of 1 Corinthians, I think chapter 11, where it talks about why some of the people who are taking the Lord's Supper are sick and even have died because they aren't taking it in truth and their heart isn't right before God. But in this case, as we covered in you know, when you look at confession of sins, and that's another topic, there's like two places in the Bible where it really talks about confessing your sins. One is in 1 John 1:9, which is referring to the sinner who does not have fellowship with God, who thinks he does, but still has darkness in his life. And it talks about how he needs still to be cleansed from all sin, coming in the humility. Well, that's that one. But then you have, well, what about somebody who is a saint? What about somebody who does have fellowship with God and is part of the family of God and of the saints? Well, if they commit a sin, kind of as discussed in the second chapter of 1 John moving forward, about we aren't to be committing any sin, not even a sin, but if one person commits a sin, we still have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And we covered more of this in depth in the episode of 1 John chapter 1 and 2, 1 John chapter 3. You can go listen to that as well in other episodes. But the point being here is we can pray for them. If they come in humility and repentance, we can pray. And the prayer offered in faith will save the person. Now, notice the word save. That's right. Some Bibles may say heal, restore. The word is sozo. It's to save. Well, there's different applications of save. There's save from the penalty of sin, from hell, save from sickness, save from the power of sin, save from drowning, save from addictions. So many different saves. But one of the things in the principle that Jesus taught when he said, what's easier? And this was, I think, in Luke chapter 5, maybe. It's covered in many of the Gospels, where Jesus went to heal a man. He says, what's easier, to say your sins are forgiven you or to say, pick up your mat and walk? But to know that the Son of Man has authority to forgive sins, he said, pick up your mat and walk. But yet Jesus also taught for us, I think this might be in John, that we also, he says, the sins of those who you forgive will be forgiven and the sins of those who you don't will not be forgiven them. And he said this to the disciples. Well, how can they have authority to forgive sin? Well, from the standpoint of saving people from sickness, for other health issues because of sin, well, that authority has been granted. And the righteous, you know, the prayer of the righteous and the elders have that authority that God grants to them.
Amen.
So when somebody comes in repentance and in the truth, and if they're sick because of a sin, the prayer of an elder offered in faith can save them from their sin, from that physical ailment, and they will be forgiven. That's right, by their prayer. Now, they don't have the power or the authority to save them from the eternal judgment. They don't have that. We can only have that with the Father through Christ. But from the hazards of sin and sickness and ailment, yes. Yes, they do. And sometimes it may be from a demonic attack and have nothing to do with the sin. Either way, you go to somebody and ask for prayer. It's about, again, relying on the body of Christ. Now, Kyle, many churches don't practice this, or they try to, but there's no results because they don't have power.
Right.
They can't. They don't have power because they don't have righteous men. Now, sometimes God in his sovereignty can work, and there is power in the name of Jesus. So there will be people who can do miracles, casting out demons or healings, as Jesus talked about, and I think it's Matthew chapter 7. But Jesus will say to them on that day, depart from me, I don't know you, because they continued in sin.
Right.
So that gets back to, just because you can do good doesn't mean you have the Spirit of God. The question is, are you able to be free from sin and no longer commit sin? It's just like, oh, but I cast out a demon. Okay, but are you also able to be free from sin and not continue in your sin or iniquity? And that's the litmus test. But a lot of people miss that because they don't see these little subtleties. So yeah, a lot of truth here. And then the whole point of this is, if you don't go to them, and that's why it also says go to somebody if they have sin, to rebuke them and to have them turn. Jesus said in Matthew 18, if they don't, then take another witness and cast them out. So you who are listening, if you're struggling with sin, well, then you're living in a lie. You never came to the truth. You were never set free. The chains were never removed. I know you want to be free. I know you recognize that you don't want to be in bondage. But until you come to the truth, as God says it, well, then you'll never be able to be free. For those who have come to the truth, as it continues to talk about in verse 19 to 20, if anyone among you strays or wanders from the truth and somebody turns him back, well, the impact of this, or the reality of what's going on, is you'll end up saving his soul from death, because you're going to turn the sinner from the error of his way To continue to sin is not the way of truth. We are to turn people from that path. If you do, you save their soul from death. If not, they go to death, eternal death.
That's right. That's why, folks, you hear us talk about it so much. The eternal future of everyone listening is that it rests on that.
Now, why don't we end with Philippians? In Philippians, I want to look at Philippians chapter 1, verse 3 through 5.
I thank my God every time I remember you, constantly praying with joy in every one of my prayers for all of you, because of your sharing in the gospel from the first day until now. I am confident of this, that the one who began a good work among you will bring it to completion by the day of Jesus Christ.
Amen. And you know, this really is the prayer, Kyle. And this is what I wanted to end with. Father, I do thank you for everybody who's listening. But mostly, God, what I ask and my prayer for them is that they receive the new heart and the new spirit, O God, that they can become a participant in the gospel from now until they finish their race. Father, this is the true joy, that you complete the work in us and that we finish it until the day of Christ and we don't turn back, and that we continue to strive in our prayers for all the saints, O God, as they continue to participate in the gospel. O Father, the labors are few. The labors are few, but the harvest is so full. It's so ready, but we need more laborers. Father, we beseech you, send us more laborers, for the fields are ripe for harvest right now. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Yeah, before we close out right now, I just was convicted to request of everyone that's listening. You know, there is something that you can do to assist this ministry, and that is share links of these episodes, episodes that you think that the Lord spoke to you in, that you might know of someone out there who's in bondage of sin. Share a link with them. Share it on social media. Send it to them in email. We just want this word to get out to many folks. We're thankful for those of you that live in Hutchinson, Kansas, that's constantly listening. We see that in Miami Beach, in Pennsylvania, in Texas, in China, India, Nigeria, Kenya, Ghana, Germany, Sweden, the UK, China. We're seeing folks all around the world listening to these episodes, but it can only happen when folks like you that are out there hearing and listening to these, that you share links as well. People's eternal future rests on that. And we're just so thankful that you could help us in that regard. Praise God. You guys have a great day.
Amen.
We hope this weekly program helped rekindle your zeal to know, love, and serve Christ day by day. If you enjoyed the program, consider subscribing and sharing with your friends. Thanks for listening.